Welcome to All Sides with Amy Juravich. America celebrated its bicentennial back in 1976. Next year, another major celebration for the country will take place. America will turn 250. Since it became a state on March 1st, 1803, Ohio has made major contributions to the nation, from presidents to aviation. America 250 Ohio will be celebrating those contributions. And here to tell us about the plans that are already underway is Chris Herdebees, Communications Director for America 250 Ohio. Welcome to All Sides, Chris.
Thanks for having us.
So when did all the planning for America 250 and Ohio's portion, America 250 Ohio, when did you start planning?
Yeah, so the commission was formed in March of 2022, and planning really began almost immediately. Our executive director, Todd Kleismet, had 12 listening sessions around the state to hear from Ohioans what they would like to see with this celebration. That formed a report to the people that was given to the assembly, and we were off to the races.
So America is celebrating 250, and then each state is having its own commission. Is that how this works?
Correct. So there is a national commission for the America 250 and an encouragement that all states have a commission, and we're excited to report that all states do.
Okay. So is this kind of, I want to call it an unfunded mandate. Does each state have to come up with its own plan and pay for it?
That's correct. Every state has their own kind of approach in terms of the story they want to tell, the funds that they raise, how they even organize. And we're a commission created by the Ohio Assembly. And so that gives us, I think, maybe some different ways to work than maybe if we were embedded in a history location like some states are.
So you have quite a long list of people on your commission. I was reading through the list. Yeah. You know, it includes former Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman, mm-hmm. former Governor Ted Strickland. There's several state representatives and senators on there. The list goes on and on. How are you wrangling all these ideas from these commission members?
Well, that early report I talked about was really the playbook. And then what we've done is formed committees, six committees, where each of those committees is chaired by a commissioner, and then other commissioners will participate in those committees as they can. And we do get new ideas every day. So sometimes we have to encourage them maybe to find a local partner, but we are trying to like take in those ideas, put them in the proper committee. And right now, we're really focusing on implementation. That early kind of brainstorming time has kind of passed. We're staying open to ideas, but really just focusing on implementation now.
Now, how did you get involved?
Well, I joined in the winter of 2023. They had an opportunity for me to join, and I had a long experience with COSI. Which gave me, I think, a really good runway to do this kind of work. In a lot of ways, they're very similar.
So is it, you know, the actual birthday, I guess, will be July 4th, 2026.
Yeah.
Right. So that will be like the one big day. But is it a years-long project? Tell me about like the scope here.
Yeah, it sure is. In fact, we're doing things right now. So our celebration has really begun. But in 2026, we want to do things all year long. So to that end, each month is a different aspect of how Ohio's contributed to U.S. history for 250 years, which is our big idea. Mm-hmm. That's what we're really trying to play out here, is for Ohioans to have a sense of pride and place and to know how Ohio's contributed to U.S. history. So we couldn't do it just on one day or one month. So every month is a different aspect that will have different events and experiences that will help Ohioans engage with those ideas.
Okay, so we'll get into some of the things you're doing for the months, but jump forward for me. Like, what will July 4th, 2026 look like? Do you have an idea for that?
Well, because we have communities who are raising their hand to be part of this celebration, we have 281 communities throughout the state of Ohio who are America 250 Ohio communities. So all those communities will be doing something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 4th of July is a big day in Ohio anyways. We love our parades. We love our fireworks. And so it'll all be kind of dressed for 250. We have a partner who's going to do a major event up on the lake on that day. And then for us, we're really kind of looking at the month of July as kind of our big moment with a picnic program we're doing.
Like, tell me more about that. Lots of picnics.
Yeah. So we've created a program called Ohio's Homecoming and Picnic. And we're encouraging Ohioans to get together in the month of July and have a picnic. So gather together as a community, whether it's a family group, a church group, a full community, have a picnic, and celebrate this anniversary. And we're providing homecoming kits, which will help them have fun and learn about Ohio's history and U.S. history.
Okay. So if it's America 250, though, I mean, every state is doing something different. I'm sure that there's going to be something big in Washington. I mean, if anyone knows President Trump, he likes a party. So I would think that that would be a big celebration.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what it will happen nationally? Are you in meetings with other states?
Yeah, so we actually are. Some of our commission members are actually in Virginia this week with other states at a convening they've created. And then we're on a call every month with the National Association. And that's with all the states plus the national organization. And they are sharing their plans with us. So they have several marquee countrywide projects that are underway. And we're participating and supporting those.
So we will see eventually, probably in the next year, a countrywide project related to America turning 250.
Yeah. So the ones they're doing right now are really about engaging citizens around their stories. So there is a story where you can submit your essay or your video about what it is to be an American. They have an America's Field Trip, which is for students, and they do essays around what it means to be an American and students, and will win amazing trips. Actually, one of those trips will come to Ohio this year to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm. And then they're preparing to do something that's kind of along the lines of StoryCorps, where they'll have a traveling kind of opportunity for people to learn and engage as well.
Oh, I love that little public radio drop of StoryCorps right there. Yeah, story. So, you know, telling stories,
yeah,
audio stories.
Absolutely.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the upcoming celebration of America's 250th birthday and what Ohio has planned for the celebration with Chris Herdebees, Communications Director for America 250 Ohio. Do you call it a birthday or an anniversary? I struggled with that.
Yeah, we actually kind of use both, but anniversary is more the focus. Mm-hmm. Because I think it allows us to encompass more of the time frame and kind of a bigger idea, I think.
Okay. So if I say birthday by accident, is that okay?
It's fine.
Okay.
We won't stop you.
All right. So there are branch offices throughout Ohio. Is that right?
Well, I think it's probably more fair to say that there are commissioners located all throughout the state of Ohio. We have one sort of central office here in Columbus. And then we have volunteers and people who are working with us all over the state.
Now, you already have a very extensive website. It's lovely.
Thank you. Whoever your
website designer is did a great job.
Thank you.
So you have lots of programs listed on there. You have some fun videos already. So even though this seems like a long time away, I mean, mm-hmm. this is a big thing to plan. Is that how you're approaching it?
Absolutely. Some commissions have been working even before we started in 2022. And so we feel the pressure of, particularly since we're doing things now that people can do, but also the fact that in a lot of ways it starts for us on January 1st in full motion, that's not that far away. So we are just really trying to use our time wisely to get everything ready. So it's just a great celebration from January 1.
What's the website?
It's America250-Ohio.org.
All right. Got to put that hyphen Ohio in there,
yeah.
right? Yes.
Uh-huh.
So you've already launched a variety of programs. Tell me about the driving trails.
Yeah, this is a really fun one. So when we did those listening sessions, one of the things that came out of it was the desire to tell big stories about Ohio and for places for people to go. And so we're creating 6 tourism trails called Trails and Tales. And the idea is it's driven by a story about an Ohioan or a place that lift up a larger story. So far, we've created one called Ohio Air and Space, which celebrates Ohio's aviation and aerospace history. It has over 30 sites. And what's exciting about that is people will often think about Dayton, and rightly so, where the Wright brothers and Wright Field and all the things that were there. But there are stories all throughout the state about air and space. And so guests can go, and it's kind of based on the idea it's a story, a place to visit, and an experience when you get there that really deepens the story. And so that's been a big success that we launched that. It'll be a year in May. And then our second one we just launched in February, the Ohio Creativity Trail. Mm-hmm. That's over 100 sites of places where people can learn about Ohio's creative expression.
So the idea of this driving trail, let's go back to the air and space one.
Yeah, you got it.
So you, can you, I don't know, can you go to each one? Like, obviously you drive, you can go to each one. Can you get like a stamp and a book or something? Or like, are you like collecting knowledge on these different sites?
Yeah. So we call it kind of a drive your own adventure. Mm-hmm. So you can start anywhere, go anywhere, go to as many sites as you like. But over 30 sites, it's not going to all happen at once.
Right.
We want to encourage visitors to go to more than one site. So the way we've started that is a button that you collect at your first site, and then you can wear it to subsequent sites. And that way the team there can recognize it and engage with you. And then we want to add some kind of passport element where after maybe a few sites, you could earn a patch that looks like the logo. So we're actually in the works to figure that out right now.
Okay. So, yeah. So if you visit the sites, it's kind of like it's making me feel like, you know, you earn stars on your button, like the book thing from Pizza Hut from back in the day.
Love that.
Yeah. Okay. So whenever I think about this air and space driving trail, I'm sure that it includes, you know, Wright Patch, but then you could probably drive to the John and Annie Glenn site,
yes,
right?
Neil
Armstrong's home.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. And what's fun is there's sites like the Ernie Hall Museum, which is in Warren, Ohio. And Ernie Hall was a person who knew the Wright brothers, but trained thousands of pilots. So it's kind of a lesser known story. And that's part of the delight of this is those smaller places, maybe in cities or communities that maybe you don't typically go to, but you get to have this wonderful experience. And so I've learned a lot just through you know, doing the marketing communications for this trail. And I'm excited to go to some of these sites myself this summer.
So are you earning a Ohio history degree through this project?
I think I am, actually, and I'm really loving it.
Yeah. Tell me about the fourth grade history pass.
Yeah, this is a great one. So February of last year, we launched this program, and we wanted to do something big and bold and that would cover, that would be for students. And so in Ohio, fourth grade is where you learn about Ohio history. So we said, what if we could provide every student with free admission to sites, Ohio history sites? Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, can we do it? And so we had some inaugural partners. It was Cincinnati Museum Center, Ohio History Connection, and the Cleveland History Center. And they all said yes. Mm-hmm. When they said yes, more came on. And so it's basically a free admission for a fourth grade student with a paid adult. It's for a family visit. You go to our website, you can either print or download the pass. And what's cool is you can use it more than once in your fourth grade year. And we consider your fourth grade year September 1st through the following August 31st. So you get a whole year to use it. And it's been a popular program. We have over 60 sites you can visit with the pass.
So it's already started.
Yes. Yeah,
okay. So it's not just during the anniversary year.
And it will actually continue through August 31st, 2027.
Oh, okay.
Because as a commission, we'll finish. We are, by law, we sunset on June 30th of 2027. Mm-hmm. We did not want those fourth graders to not be able to take a full year of advantage. So our partners have all agreed to go at least through then, and we're hoping it'll continue even after that.
Okay. You mentioned the Creativity Trail. Later in the hour, we're going to have a guest on the show who is a stop on the Creativity Trail. Yeah. But tell me about what made you decide to do a Creativity Trail.
Well, because we're trying to do these big themes of how Ohio's contributed to history, creativity was one that we thought would be very appealing, but also there's a lot of story to tell. And so when we do these projects, we kind of open it up for applications because we're looking to, it's a curated trail, so we can tell a powerful story. And what we found is that there were six themes that were really making sense. So there's literature that's on the page. So that could be authors, poets, illustrators, music, of course, we're a strong music state, visual arts, glass and pottery, which again is a very big strong strength of Ohio. Folk and traditional art, those are arts where it's functional, it's furniture, it's quilting, that kind of thing. And then finally, carousel art, which is kind of the surprise. But there are 22 operating carousels in Ohio, and we think the first carousel in the United States may have been in Ohio in a place called Hessville. So it allows us to talk about things that are, there's a lot of creativity in these different modes. And again, people, the people who, you know, people love people, and to tell the stories of those people, but then have a place to visit to experience it and spark your own creativity.
Do you think you'll do a button for the Creativity Trail, like the Air and Space Trail too, then?
We already have.
You already have a button.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can visit these sites and just to be a part of it. But exactly. If there's 100, that probably would take a long time.
Yeah. We don't think we'd love it if somebody does all. Maybe there's going to be a an amazing prize for that.
You should tell someone, if someone does all 100, you
challenge accepted.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen more likely, though, is we say there's a couple ways you can explore this. One is through a genre you're interested in. Mm-hmm. And on the website, we have an interactive map and you can filter. So let's say glass and pottery is your thing. Mm-hmm. Then you could find all the sites in the state and go visit those. Or do what I call mixed media. You go into a community and you can see all the different creative sites in that community. So it's really, people can follow their passion.
So, okay. So Ohio is known for, you know, the Wright brothers. We talked about, you know, our NASA connections. Yeah. We talked about the creativity, the carousels, which I've actually heard about our carousel thing, but maybe not as extensively as you just mentioned. But we also are known for presidents.
Yes.
Do you have that incorporated in there?
So that'll be in the trail we're going to launch in the fall of 2026. So there'll be a total of six. That'll be our last one. And we're calling it leadership. So that'll be generals, Native American leaders, presidents, and social justice leaders. And again, because it's story-driven and you're going to a place, there's a lot of places you can go to hear these stories and learn more. So we're saving the presidents for that.
Okay. So we did the Air and Space Trail, the President's mm-hmm. Trail, the Creativity Trail. You said there's six. What else am I missing?
Yeah. So this summer, we're going to launch the Lake Erie to Ohio River Trail.
Okay.
And that'll celebrate the water that shapes Ohio. So the lake, the river, and the canals that connect them. And then the fall of this year, 2025, we're going to do an Innovation and Inventors Trail. So that gives us a chance to talk about the Thomas Edisons and the Garrett Morgans and other people who have amazing stories, because Ohio's a very innovative state.
I forgot Thomas Edison was from Ohio. I just smiled when he said that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
We get all six?
Yeah, so one more.
Yeah.
And that's transportation. So that lets us talk about the amazing car museums, the great places where you can ride a train, our wonderful byways. And that will be the winter of 2026.
Okay. And the last thing I had on my list, I mean, there's tons of things on your website. Everyone should check it out because there's lots of things. But I wanted to know a little bit more about the tree planting program, too. That caught my eye.
So there's a program a lot of states are engaging with called Liberty Trees. And there was a tree in Boston where the Patriots would gather and make their plans. But we decided to call it Heritage Trees Planting History. Mm-hmm. And the big idea is that we're going to plant a tree in every one of our 88 counties. And it'll more often than not be in a public setting, could be a park, could be at the courthouse. We're providing the tree, the shovel, the materials, mm-hmm. everything. And you plant in the spring and fall. So our first trees are going to be planted this spring, but we think most will end up planting next spring. But we're providing all the materials. We have a sponsor for that. And Ohio has more Tree City locations than anywhere else in the country, which is pretty great. And when early Europeans came to the state, they were just awed by the trees. So it just seems like a great fit.
So I guess my last question is, how are you going to continue to pay for all this? Do you have enough money?
Well, luckily, we've been well supported by the Ohio Assembly. Right now, there's a new biennium budget that's being looked at. We also, because we're set up in a way that we can receive donations and sponsorship, and that private-public partnership is really, I think, important.
Okay. So are you a nonprofit?
We're considered a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Our fiscal agent is actually the Ohio History Connection.
Okay. So you can ask for donations, can raise money, but you're also getting money from the state, the governor's office in the state budget is supporting this.
Yes.
In just a moment, we're going to be talking about Ohio Goes to the Movies, which is another part of what you're doing. And I saw a video on there. Governor DeWine was in the video.
Yes,
So he must... I would think just from barely knowing Governor DeWine, I don't know him personally, but he must love this.
He actually loves this whole thing. Mm-hmm. He's very excited. He and Mrs. DeWine want to be involved all the way through. Mm-hmm. And with this particular project, Ohio Goes to the Movies, he and Mrs. DeWine's first date was to a movie. Mm-hmm. They love Ohio movies. They want to go to as many as these can. And when you talk with our director on that, you'll get a lot more.
All right. Well, we'll learn about that right after this break. But first of all, I want to say thank you to Chris Hurtubise, Communications Director for America 250 Ohio. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And tell us the website one more time where people can find it.
Yeah, it's america250-ohio.org.
Great. And this is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Each morning, It's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Ahead of America's semi-quincentennial, we're talking about the plans underway to celebrate Ohio's contributions to America. Semi-quincentennial is a fancy way of saying 250 years old. And in 2026, America will turn 250. Each state has plans to be a part of the celebration. Two of the most famous movies filmed at least partially in Ohio are 1994's Shawshank Redemption, which still draws visitors to the Mansfield area.
You think he'll ever get out of here?
Me? Yeah. One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
I'll tell you where I'd go. To Watanil.
To what?
To Watanil. To Mexico.
And 1988's Rain Man, which, according to USA Today, put Cincinnati on the map as a desirable film location.
Who's your dad?
Sanford Babbitt.
Who? Sanford Babbitt?
10961 Beechcrest Street, Cincinnati, Ohio.
That's my address. I mean, what is it with this guy? Hey!
Part of America 250 Ohio will include a statewide celebration of Ohio film and filmmakers, past and present. It's called Ohio Goes to the Movies. Molly Kruseman is the director of the program and joins us now. Welcome to All Sides, Molly.
Thank you so much, Amy. I'm happy to be here.
Well, so whether it's music or aviation, Ohio has played a significant role in American development. Can you tell me about Ohio's contribution to the film industry?
Well, the first thing I want to tell you is it is much wider and deeper than you might ever imagine. So Hollywood itself was actually started by a woman who bought 120 acres of land in Southern California and named it Hollywood Land. She was from Hicksville, Ohio. Next up, we have people like Lillian Gish, Clark Gable, Dorothy Dandridge. That list goes on, and the Warner Brothers. So, you know, as I've been delving into this, and I grew up in Columbus, but as I've been delving into this, the things that I have been finding are astounding. And I think without Ohio, there would not be the film industry as we know it today. And you mentioned in the last segment about Thomas Edison. Well, of course, where would we be without him? So it's, you know, it's pretty amazing.
Ohio truly is the heart of it all, I
think. We truly are. And I'm so glad we brought that slogan back.
Same. So how did you get involved? Are you a movie lover? How did you get this job?
Well, I've been in this industry for about 25 years. And I like to say I've been all around the Mulberry Bush, and I'm filmy. So I've done everything from help restore historic theaters to starting film festivals, running film festivals. I made a documentary film. I've co-produced narrative features. And 4 years ago, I started Cinema Columbus Film Festival for Kappa when I got home here. And then I was invited to coffee. And about 15 minutes into coffee, I said to myself, this is some kind of a job interview. And I must have done well because here I am.
All right. So you mentioned the names of some people who are famous, who are from Ohio. So, I mean, I have on my list here Clark Gable and Paul Newman is from Ohio as well. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a few other Hollywood icons?
Well, how about Doris Day? Mm-hmm. How about Janelle Monáe, Halle Berry, Beverly D'Angelo? I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker, Rob Lowe, Martin Sheen. I mean, the list just goes on and on. But what's really been interesting to me are finding out about people like Mark Henn, who's from Dayton, who's the most awarded Disney animator in history. And he just retired a year or two ago. But all of your Disney princesses, he created those. And he did The Baby Lion and The Lion King, which
Simba.
Thank you. I don't have any kids, so I don't remember.
That's okay.
Simba's
I got you.
Thank you, Amy.
So there was a time when movies were all coming out of Hollywood and they were all filmed in Hollywood. But that's no longer the case. Do you have a sense of how much film production is taking place right now here in Ohio?
So let me tell you, it's pretty extraordinary. There are some incredible things going on in film in Ohio. Here in Columbus, there's an independent film that just wrapped called Down to the Felt. It just had its premiere out west at a film festival, and it will be at the Cleveland Film Festival. Robert De Niro just made a film down in Cincinnati. That just premiered. Of course, we all know Superman, Cleveland. So, I mean, things are happening in all parts of the state, and it's really exciting what's going on. I think the other thing that I just would love to share with you, which most people probably don't know, but Cincinnati is one of the last three places that the Sundance Film Festival is looking to move to.
Really?
We're going to find out this week, so everybody keep your fingers crossed, because that would be extraordinary. And our film commissioner down there has done an amazing job, as well as the governor and other folks who have joined in to show Sundance what an absolutely incredible state Ohio is for film.
Well, we'll turn the Queen City into the Sunset City.
That's right.
All right. So many states are luring filmmakers by offering tax credits. Do you feel like Ohio has been competitive in this area?
I absolutely do. And we continue to be competitive. You know, we keep working with the state, and I think the state recognizes, you know, the fact of the matter is, anytime you step onto a film set, you suddenly realize there are dozens of people that are being employed. And one of the things that I love about it is it's everybody from possibly a high school dropout to a PhD. And everybody works in unison. It's this beautiful dance of people utilizing their best skills to create this amazing thing, which is art, yes, but this is also commerce. And it's really good for our state.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about plans to celebrate America's 250th anniversary and how Ohio will play a role in that celebration. With us is Molly Kruseman, who is the director of the program Ohio Goes to the Movies, which is celebrating film and filmmakers past and present. So let's get to that plan for America 250 Ohio. What is Ohio Goes to the Movies?
Well, first of all, may I say that occasionally I think I might need my head examined, but I am having the best time. So as it stands right now, I have 200 venues signed up, over 200 venues signed up. I have 20 counties left. Now, most of these counties that are left don't actually have theaters. So we're looking at libraries. We're looking at high schools. But what's going to happen is we have created something called the Ohio Movie Database, which is on our website, which I'll promote, ohiogoestothemovies.org. This is the first time this has ever been created, and it is actors, writers, directors, composers, films that were made here, or films, novels that were written by Ohioans that have been made into films. So all the films that you're going to see for 250 days in 2026 are Ohio-centric films. We will do our kickoff on February 11th at the Edison House in Milan, which is, of course, as it should be. It also happens to be his birthday. So that'll be super fun. And the lists are just starting to come in because every venue gets to pick its own film. Because, of course, they know what their folks are going to want to see. And you played a clip from Shawshank, which I have to tell you, if you've never gone to the celebration that they do in Mansfield, it is extraordinary. I recommend it for everyone. But my final film that I'm working with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on is, and we just got permission to show it, is David Grohl's Sound City. So David Grohl from the Foo Fighters, his film will be shown, knock wood, hopefully at Rock Hall. They are completing renovations, so we hope they'll be done. I'm not sure if Dave will be with us yet, but you know I'm going to work on it.
So this whole Ohio Goes to the Movies is the idea was created as a part of America 250 Ohio, but it sounds like you're creating something that's going to live on.
I mean, that is my absolute goal. You know, one of the things that's been so beautiful is meeting people
across the state. Film commissioners, film festivals, film professors, AV teachers in high schools, our theaters, venues. And I would hate to see all this end after 2026. I think we have a real opportunity to really jumpstart what we're doing in the film. I call it the film ecosystem because it's not just making a film, it's showing the film. It's taking films into schools. It's how we know a lot of our history is through film. I mean, WOSU, yes, we're on the radio, but you certainly have a lot of films that track, you know. And that's another thing I should mention. We do hope to also have industrial and special interest films. So, for instance, films, old films from Ohio State, maybe old films from the Cleveland Clinic. So there's going to be something for everybody.
WOSU has a few documentaries, I'm sure you can add to your list there.
You know, one or two, I think you guys have.
I think we do. So I mentioned Shawshank Redemption. I mentioned Rain Man. Are there any other movies that have had any other Ohio-based movies that have had a big impact like those ones?
I mean, I think there's lots, you know. Now, you're talking about, I mean, whether you're talking about the films that have been made by Ohioans, I mean, frankly, my dear, Gone with the Wind, for whatever it's worth, in this day and age, in actual dollars, would have made $4.4 billion. That is an incredible sum. Nobody comes close to that. I don't even think Taylor Swift's film comes close to that. Sorry, Taylor. But, you know, the impact of the films, and again, I want to point out that while some films are just entertaining, there are so many films and documentaries that are heartwarming, that are challenging, that are push our boundaries of what we think is possible, you know. So I hate to just point out just the entertainment films. Mm-hmm. I really want us to all think about the entire scope of what film is and does for us.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, smaller filmmakers being recognized, the more independent filmmakers. Are you working with them too?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, like, for instance, the film that I mentioned, Down to the Felt, that's an independent film. It's the biggest film, I think, that's been made in Columbus for about 8 years. And it's an indie film. So, you know, an indie film has come such a long way as well. It used to be sort of like, you know, we were the afterthought in the film world. But nowadays, you think about films like Tar, which was an independent film with a $40 million budget. So I think as the film industry stretches and grows, as these changes have occurred from COVID and from, you know, AI and all those sorts of things, I think you're going to start seeing more independent films being made along with Hollywood films. And one of the things that I always stress, I do a filmmaker gathering every month here in Columbus. And one of the things that we've really worked hard is to appreciate that, yes, there's independent film, there's creative film, but we have all of our commercial film brethren, if you will, and that we're all working on the same thing. You know, we're all creating film. It's all a skill, and it's a sellable skill, and it's an employable skill.
Now, on your website, you have, I guess I would call it a trailer for Ohio Goes to the Movies. It features Governor DeWine and Fran, and I'm assuming those are his grandchildren in there.
Those are the grandkids.
Yes. So if our listeners want to watch that, it's say your website again.
It is ohiogoestothemovies.org. And I will also tell you the other person who was...
I was going to say spoiler alert, but who is in the trailer?
Spoiler alert, yeah. Columbus native Beverly D'Angelo, who many folks know as Ellen Griswold from the National Lampoon Vacation movies, is our star. Well, one of our stars, because I thought the governor and first lady actually did a terrific job. I've tried to tell them they may have work after they retire from this job, so we'll see.
What theater was that filmed in?
That was at the Renaissance Theater in Wilmington.
Okay.
Which is an absolutely gorgeous historic theater. Okay, there's another great fun story. So recently, a film was made called Nutcrackers, Ben Stiller film, came out on Hulu. It's a Christmas film. But it was made in Wilmington, and they invited me to come to the premiere. And it was so fun because there were three, quote-unquote, stars. everyone else was from Wilmington. So every time somebody new came on screen, the whole place would just erupt in applause and cheers. And I thought, you know, this is what we've all missed not going to theaters together, is having this beautiful communal experience. So that's a big part of Ohio Goes to the Movies, is to bring us back to the theaters.
I love it when people clap at the end of a movie in a theater. So.
I do too.
It makes me feel good. I had that experience with Wicked. Everyone clapped at the
end. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. And speaking of which, do you know that the costume designer for Wicked won the Oscar? Ohio native. He's from Akron.
Yes, I did know that.
See, you know things.
I know things, Paul, but I can't remember his last name. But it's
Tazewell.
Yes, yep. Yes. So let's just, before we run out of time, one more time. So this idea of Ohio Goes to the Movies came about because of America's 250th celebration. So you're a part of America 250 Ohio, but your celebration is not just one day. It's not just July 4th, 2026. So tell us again your plan.
So it's at least 250 days, and I want to give a shout out to my peer Stephen George. He had this idea when he was in charge of Ohio's bicentennial and carried this forward because they didn't have the people to be able to pull it off. So first of all, thanks to him that I'm even here. This will start February 11th, and it will run through approximately the third week in October. Again, we haven't solidified our date with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but that one's going to be fun. I think the other really cool thing to let everybody know is that we have made all of these events free and open to the public, because I didn't want anybody to not be able to join in the fun because they couldn't afford it. So every single one of these screenings will be free to the public.
So a local theater. So if you have your favorite local theater here in Columbus, mm-hmm. I'll just shout out mine, you know, Studio 35. Mm-hmm. On a particular day, they're going to show a film of their choosing that's related to this.
Yes. So what will happen is there'll be some kind of a pre-gathering where it could be anything from red carpet to trivia. I know in Youngstown, they want to show Shawshank and have people dress in prison uniforms.
Why not?
Why not? Then you show the film, and then afterwards, there'll be some kind of an audience participation Q&A. And our hope is that we get a lot of stars to come home and participate.
Awesome. Well, update me. Tell me what happens.
I will.
And that was Molly Kruseman, the director of Ohio Goes to the Movies, which is a part of America 250 Ohio Celebration. Thank you for joining us, Molly.
Thank you.
And coming up, we're going to talk about a Creativity Trail, which is a part of America 250 Ohio, with one of the people who is on the trail. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. A First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jarovich. America will turn 250 in 2026. We're talking about plans already underway to celebrate Ohio's contributions to America's semi-quincentennial. Part of Ohio's celebration will involve what they're calling a creativity trail that is running through the state. Joining us now are Jason and David Annesy, owners of Gay Fad Studios, which is on the trail. Welcome to All Sides, Jason and David.
Thank you so much, Amy, for having us.
So let's start with, I'm just going to pick Jason. Can you tell us what made you want to be involved in this America 250 celebration and be on the Creativity Trail?
Oh, thank you so much for this opportunity. We're so excited to be on the Creativity Trail because it provides us an opportunity to share about Ohio's rich history in the creation of glassware. That history dates back over 100 years, and so it's really important to highlight that history as a part of this tradition. But especially for what we do today, we are the only mid-century glassware company that has been revived since many of them closed decades ago. We continue that tradition by producing decorated glassware with ceramic and 24 karat gold. And so it's a really great way for people to connect with the history while experiencing it for new individuals, like new types of products and new things that start to revive that history once again.
Now, in our first segment, we talked about the Creativity Trail. I mean, there are lots of places. I think she said, I can't remember now, I think she said 100 different places on the Creativity Trail. Do you feel, I mean, what does it feel like to be a part of this, being a part of Ohio's creative history?
Well, it's pretty amazing. You know, I mean, that's one cool part of the overall story of America, are all the people and places that have shaped our culture and our communities. And it's a great way to really highlight all those individual contributions. So I think it's a great way to encourage people to get out and learn more about their state, their local communities, the people that shape their past and present. And we're just happy to be a part of that.
So tell us about Gay Fad Studios. You are basically you resurrected a company from 60 years ago. Can you tell us that story?
Yes, Gay Fad Studios is a legacy mid-century glassware business. It was founded in 1939 by Fran Taylor with a $30 investment. She was focused on making art accessible and how to bring joy into our everyday functional items. Over 24 years, she led a woman-only studio that was about creating this wonderful decorated glassware. And so we were so enamored with the history and with the incredible artistry and innovation behind Gay Fad Studios that we decided, is it possible to resurrect a business? So we worked with Fran's daughter as a way to secure the legacy. And today what we have done is not only opened up a boutique store where people can shop new glassware that we create using the same time-honored methods and materials, but we've also opened up a museum. Now that's been a really rich passion project of ours, where we have worked over the last 2.5 years to collect thousands of pieces of the original glass and many of the other paraphernalia so that we can begin to share that with visitors.
Yes, having a glass shop and a museum is pretty remarkable. And for our listeners, you have to see this glassware to believe it, because it is absolutely beautiful. I wanted to talk to you more about your process. So do you make it?
Sure. Okay. So Jason is the artist out of the two of us. I can't draw a stick figure to save my life, so I'm glad he can carry that. He does all the design work in-house. Some of it is kind of reinterpreting original patterns from the 1950s and 60s. Others are brand new pieces that he designs and creates today. So we actually source our blank glassware from Libby. So here's an example. I know our viewers can't see it, but you can. A regular rock-sized glass, the blank glass is molded and made in Toledo, Ohio. We create all the artwork and then we have it decorated right here in Ohio. So it's all Ohio made.
So David is on Zoom and he's holding up glass. But for people who are listening on the radio, tell us your website so they can go on and look at the beautiful glasswork.
Sure. Just go to gayfadstudios.com. There's all the information you'll ever need, whether it's about the history or the shop that we have online, our retail store. You can view everything from the past, present, and future.
Now, Jason, I saw pictures on your website of a woman, probably from the original company, hand painting the glassware. So do you do that? Is that what you do?
We don't hand paint. So Gay Fad started with hand painting. They were actually using ceramic to hand paint a wide variety of different types of glassware. And very quickly, as the company progressed, they started to incorporate silk screening, frit, which is actually tiny little pebbles of glass, electroplating, which is how you actually apply 24 karat gold and platinum silver, and a wide array of other types of methods. For today, what we wanted to focus on was the continuation of silkscreened glassware. So each color is actually applied completely separate. And as you think of silkscreening a t-shirt, where a screen comes down and you are applying the material, the only difference would be that the glass is on its side and it's actually rotating, and that's what deposits each color. So for today, especially because we're looking at a business that closed 60 years ago, the challenge has always been, how can you bring back that artistry when there are so many that you can no longer connect with? And so it has taken us down a path to honestly figure out, how do we do silkscreen glassware? How do we do it in the state? And we're very excited by the future, because we're already starting to work on things like decorated porcelain. Mm-hmm. So as you think of decorated porcelain plates, things that used to exist in the mid-century era, those are the things that we're working on bringing back.
Now, David, if this company closed 60 years ago, I'm guessing that they didn't have any of the equipment just lying around. So you guys had to decide to start this from scratch. And you mentioned the glass that you held up is made in Toledo. So are you trying to keep it all local?
Yep. Trying to keep everything within the state of Ohio. You know, it's a great testament to our rich history in glassware. Anchor Hocking and Libby Glass are one of the two kind of giants in the glassware industry that are still producing glassware today here in the U.S. and especially in Ohio. So we wanted to try to keep it as close to home as possible, and that they made it very easy, which was nice.
And then finding the equipment, you had to buy it and source it yourself. I mean, I don't know, Jason, is your history in glass design, or did you learn it?
It's a great question. So we were bold enough to say we're going to revive Gay Fad Studios without the knowledge of how to do this. My background is actually in product design. So for many years, I've designed products using other materials, but never glass. So that has been truthfully the very challenging but also inspirational aspect of doing this, is not only exploring a medium that is entirely new, but at the same time, it's resurrecting a history that is so incredibly important to our state. When you look back at the late 1800s and dating throughout the, you know, the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, when you look at that history, you will find that across the state, there are so many different glassware producers. And so to step into that history and to find ways to revive it yet again is a wonderful way for us to continue that legacy.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about celebrating 250 years of America and how Ohio is participating in that upcoming celebration. One of the ways that America 250 Ohio is celebrating is by developing a creativity trail. And with us now is Jason and David Annecy, the owners of Gay Fad Studios, which is on the trail. Now, I read on your website, you're in Lancaster, Ohio, and your website, you call it Glass Country. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so many people don't realize how much of a role Ohio has played as a major production of glassware, especially tabletop pressed glassware. If you think about the Northwest, you have Libby, Fostoria Glassware, Central Ohio used to have Federal Glassware, Southeast Ohio, Anchor Hocking, Lancaster Glass, Gay Fad Studios, Erickson, Mosser, just a huge array of producers and decorators. And that's because Ohio's had a lot of natural gas and silica sand. And where those deposits lie, kind of across that Northwest to Southwest swatch, you see most of those industries taking hold. And so where we are, we're Southeast of Central Ohio, and it's one of the larger areas of glassware production in Ohio's history. So we always tell people, come to Glass Country, have a glass town experience, and learn about mid-century barware and glassware.
Now, this company you mentioned, it was a women-owned business, and it closed 60 years ago. Do you know the history of the name?
Yeah, so Gay Fad Studios, gay meaning happy, and fad was actually Fran's desire to make happiness a trend. As you think of when she started the business, this was post-Great Depression, and she was really thinking about how she can make those everyday functional items that you're interacting with bring more joy into your life. We love that idea, and it's something that we really adhere to. We want to make sure that when people interact with Gay Fad today, that it's still sparking nostalgia and putting a smile on their face.
And Jason, for the most part, are you making drinking glasses? Is there more to it?
Yeah, so we do today focus on drinking glasses and cocktail glasses. So whether it's a rocks glass, a highball, but also getting into wine glasses, champagne flutes, coupes, decanters, mixing pitchers, everything that you might need for a really special evening.
Now, in your museum part, historically, Gay Fad Studios, were they focused mainly on drinking glasses, or do you have other things too?
Yeah, so when Fran started the company in 1939, she was working out of her home to hand paint metal waste paper baskets, of all things, small trash cans. And that started her company. And over the years, probably the first 5 years, she did a lot of metalware and plasticware that was hand-painted for everyday use. In the height of World War II, she transitioned to glassware because of metal shortages. As she started hand-painting glass, she was just doing juice pitchers and beverage glasses, very basic everyday items. It wasn't until she moved her company here in 1945 to Lancaster from Detroit built a 47,000 square foot studio and had about 50 employees mass producing glassware, that they really started dipping their toes into barware specifically. And it became such a popular item for them that all of their products throughout the 50s and 60s really focused on barware and entertainment. Trays, bowls, platters, decanters, shakers, highball shots, rocks. I mean, you name it. If you threw a party, they probably decorated.
All right. And Jason, we only have 30 seconds left, but are you going to make a commemorative glass for America 250 Ohio?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's such an inspiring time to think about how we can contribute to the overall exploration that many visitors will have as they're spending time to go across that creativity trail and connect with many of the museums and studios that exist out there.
All right, we've been speaking with Jason and David Annecy, owners of Gay Fad Studios, which is on the Creativity Trail, which is a part of America 250 Ohio. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to All Sides with Amy Jurevich on 89.7 NPR News.